We've recently heard a lot about Ed Sheeran in the news after he's won his copyright court trial. Fortunately for him, he's also experienced a spike in searches and streams of his music. A simple search and scroll of YouTube will confirm this. He's beloved by so many fans across genres. So in this episode, I'm going to discuss this mass appeal and also look at creativity and why and how is it monetized and owned. So welcome back to Life Vocabulary. I am Serena Hussein. I'm still continuing with the live reading and reflection of Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act. So thank you for tuning in to that and enjoying it, as am I. So, Ed Sheeran, his creativity as a musician and songwriter is widely recognized and celebrated. His ability to craft heartfelt lyrics, memorable melodies, and blend various musical genres has made him a standout figure in the music industry. So many have collaborated with him on and off camera. On camera, you can see American country music artists working with him, as well as British artists like Stormzy. If we look at Sheeran's discography and song lyrics, we can argue that one of the remarkable aspects of his creativity is his knack for storytelling. His songs often carry personal narratives or depict relatable experiences that resonate with listeners on a deep emotional level. Whether he's delving into themes of love, heartbreak, or personal growth, Sheeran's lyrics possess a raw honesty that allows his audience to connect with his music on a profound level. Another interesting nuance of Ed Sheeran's creativity lies in his music creativity. He fuses elements of pop, folk, hip-hop, and acoustic styles, which showcases his willingness to experiment and push perceived musical boundaries. His collaborations with artists from different genres, such as his chart-topping song Shape of You, which blends pop and dancehall influences, demonstrate his ability to adapt and create music that appeals to a wide range of listeners. Furthermore, Ed Sheeran's creativity extends beyond his musical talents. He's known for his unique stage presence, utilizing loop pedals and layering techniques to create rich and dynamic live performances. This innovative approach allows him to build complex arrangements and deliver captivating solo performances. The Guardian recently, on the 10th of May 2023, published a piece about the pop superstar written by Janessa Williams. The headline, "I Relate Because I'm Also That Uncool Guy," gives an inside glimpse into Ed Sheeran's fan base, which is often admired for being mysterious and massive. An excerpt from the article, if you'd allow me. Ed Sheeran is very aware of the contradictions at the heart of his superstardom. The first line of his new Disney Plus documentary, The Sum of It All, finds a multi-platinum songwriter declaring, "I'm specky, ginger hair, really short, English, from the countryside, who stutters and beatboxes. That guy doesn't become a pop star." Yet 16 Grammy nominations, 14 UK number one singles, and 150 million record sales later, here we are. His success has brought with it another paradox. For one of the biggest pop stars in the world, Sheeran's presumably gigantic hardcore fan base is unusually quiet compared to stands of other superstars' acts, such as Swifties, The Beehive, or Styles-loving Harry's. It's quite possible that you had no idea they are known as the Sheerios. The documentary shows jubilant fans singing along at his stadium shows, wearing DIY t-shirts, bearing the mathematical symbols Sheeran has named his albums after. They rarely get into conflagrations online, unlike Styles, Swift, or even Drake admirers. There's a little wider sense of a distinct fan culture with its own language, memes, and even infighting. Perhaps it's a side effect of Sheeran's unapologetic normalcy. He rarely shows up on social media or red carpets or beefs with other artists. The 32-year-old lives quietly with his wife and their two daughters. Given that the most prominent stan activity tends to intersect with surveillance and cancel culture, artists who give us plenty to debate, scrutinize and riff on, perhaps it's no wonder that loyalty to Sheeran doesn't take up as much online consciousness. For many fans, Sheeran's normalcy is part of the appeal and fosters a warmth among his fan community. There's another question. Sheeran's music is so ubiquitous, genre-straddling pop that can live on dozens of different Spotify playlists and radio stations, that it's hard to tell what proportion of his numbers come from ambient appreciation and what stems from a musical hardcore following. Presumably, the latter plays a large part. Laura, a fan, was so moved to support Sheeran in last week's court case that she flew from Brazil to New York City for the trial. The article goes on, "The case enraged me so much because I knew Ed is not like that. He's an artist of integrity," she says. "So my friend and I decided to show up." The jury's verdict in Sheeran's favour arrived the day before he released his fifth solo album, Subtract. It offers unprecedented insight into Sheeran's mindset as he dealt with grief over the death of his best friend, Jamal Edwards. His wife's diagnosis with a cancerous tumour that couldn't be treated until after the birth of their second child, and a previous copyright trial over Shape of You. These unvarnished specifics may challenge the relationship that Sheeran has created with fans. As Guardian critic Alexis wrote in his four-star review of the album, whether fans are fascinated by Sheeran per se or merely Sheeran as a cipher for nice ordinary people is an interesting question. Now, thanks for that Guardian article. It's quite a long one. I wanted to share some interesting insights and excerpts from it. As a creative, I was struck by the rather cavalier acceptance of recognizable melodies, this sort of permission for somebody of Ed Sheeran's stature to be able to create at their own will, which really should be the case. We shouldn't have to need permission to create and express ourselves. As Sheeran stated in a recent video interview, you can't copyright music. And why would you want to? After all, the task of the creative is to channel the force and express it for the joy and benefit of all. As an artist, you let it go once you've created it. Artist legacy then comes in. And is that a necessary part of the equation? Or is it ego? Is it about money and the music business? Or is it about the principle? This is one of those situations that can prompt us to reevaluate why we create art and why we hinge so much of our creativity on how it lands with others and in commerce. You can't copyright a chord progression, but if you're smart, you can reflect aspects of very popular and emotive melodies. As an avid music listener, I can recognize multiple songs when listening to an Ed Sheeran piece, but I also pay attention to his expression and take on it, the choice of lyrics. Is anything ever our own? And who cares? Why care? And perhaps the big stars we all know and perhaps love have bravely chosen to create and share art that strikes a familiar chord with their audience. Whether it's a musical trend or a socio-political issue, artists can be just as calculating as others in different professions. We don't have ideas. Ideas have us. Carl Jung said that. Well, to be more exact, people don't have ideas, ideas have people. What if we are simply the current carrier for an idea and we help bring it to fruition? So what if it's similar or familiar? What if it is a copy? Again, why does it matter so much? I want to finish this episode a little by talking about ownership. Ownership of creativity is an issue that has been debated and discussed across various fields and industries. Here are a few reasons why ownership of creativity can be a complex and often contentious topic. Number one, recognition and credit. Ownership of creative works is often tied to the recognition and credit given to the creators, artists, writers, musicians, and other creative individuals invest significant time, effort, and skill into their creations. They rightfully desire acknowledgement and credit for their work, as it reflects their talent, expertise, and personal expression. Two, economic considerations. Creativity is often monetized through various channels such as publishing, licensing, performances, and distribution. Ownership rights enable creators to benefit financially from their work. These rights allow them to control the use and distribution of their creations, negotiate fair compensation, and protect against unauthorized use or exploitation. Three, incentive for innovation. Intellectual property rights, including copyrights and patents, provide creators with an incentive to innovate. By granting exclusive ownership rights for a specific period, creators are encouraged to invest in research, development, and the creative process, knowing they can reap the rewards of their efforts. This incentive fosters continued creativity and drives progress across industries. Four, balancing access and restrictions. While ownership rights protect the interests of creators, they can also restrict access to creative works, striking a balance between protecting intellectual property and ensuring the availability and accessibility of creative content is a challenge. It requires finding mechanisms such as fair use provisions and licensing arrangements that promote both creativity and the public interest. And lastly, collaborative and transformative nature of creativity. Creativity is often, well, it emerges through collaborative efforts, inspiration, and the building upon existing ideas, some of the intangibles. Determining ownership becomes complex when multiple individuals contribute to a creative work or when ideas and concepts evolve and transform over time. Balancing the rights and interests of all involved parties becomes crucial in such scenarios. It's important to note that the specifics of ownership and intellectual property laws vary across jurisdictions and creative industries. Finding a balance that protects creators' rights while fostering innovation and access to creative works is an ongoing challenge that requires ongoing dialogue and consideration of different perspectives. But what are your thoughts? I'm really interested in what you thought when you saw this entire case unfold. Please jump in the comments, leave a favorite emoji if any of this resonated with you, if you have any thoughts or insights. I'd love to hear from you. I would like to ask you one question really before I finish up this episode. I hope you're enjoying the return of music and art commentary. I am enjoying this portal really for me to explore and access my own creativity by observing and appreciating others. Do you feel that there is a way for us to put a boundary or fence to fence our creativity and our art? And if so, what is then the purpose of sharing it? Why share it with anyone if we want to put a fence around it? I would love to hear your thoughts. Please do connect with me in all the usual ways. I appreciate you sticking around for this long, and I will see you in the next episode.